Ian, today, the talk of the town, Facebook. Instagram was out for 8 hours. It caused massive anxiety amongst a lot of people, depression, confusion, all of the above. Not only Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp, all of the whole Facebook's trilogy was down for the day. And its stock was down crazy. Its stock was down 7%, I believe.
Yep.
Along with the rest of the market, which we'll talk about that. So, all right, let's get into this conversation about Facebook.
Do you guys question me on if, not you, but if TikTok is going to overtake them in 2 years? They have 1 billion users. This is a clean example of why they are not the dominant force they used to be. So the whistleblower came out and stated they had been covering up the hate speech. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, the DNS records went missing for a while. Facebook's in trouble. It's a lot of things that I want to say about the topic, but I want to keep us on air. Yeah. But this is the start of a slow decline of Facebook, and the passing of the guard has begun already.
Yeah, I mean, I believe I want to say her name right. Frances Hugin, I believe, is her name, the whistleblower. Mm-hmm. So you're not familiar with it. So she did say that about the hate speech, especially during the election. But sex trafficking was one of the things she claimed that they knew about and hadn't taken action on. So it's interesting with that. Tomorrow she's testifying in front of Congress about this information. And today Facebook was down. Instagram was down. Now, Ian, I know we only want to call them conspiracy theories, but some things just don't happen by accident.
Some things we've got to stay away from as well.
What does that mean? I mean,
even the privacy changes in the ad business from Apple is hurting them dramatically. And that's why I kept telling you guys, like, well, it'll never get passed up. And the youth is there because of Instagram. They let the bots remain on Instagram because the engagement is not as high as it used to be.
Yeah. So
Owners, you have to be able to.
No, I was going to say, so the ad thing, I'll just explain that really quickly because I wrote some notes on that so people can really understand what's happening with the Apple privacy. So Facebook's been warning advertisers for some time that Apple's new privacy features, which allow mobile users to opt out of being tracked across the iOS apps, would cause issues for the way its ad targeting business typically operates. So if you were somebody that spends through Facebook ads, right, and obviously you use the iPhone or iOS, there had been some misleading numbers. Right, I think they set up to 15%. The numbers were actually 15% off. So if you're spending at a high rate, like a lot of small businesses do, to get their message and their company out there to the billions of users that are on Facebook, and you're overpaying, and they're saying like, "Look, our numbers are off by 15%." Now, estimated 15%, could be more. We'll find out a little bit more tomorrow. That's a huge issue. And so, I mean, they're in a tough spot. And I guess the logical question for people would be like, all right, well, do we believe in Facebook? Probably, yeah, right? It's a FANG stock. Where's a good point to get in? Or
Nope.
Is it a good time now? Or are we going to wait till it's full?
No good. Name me four better companies than Facebook right now. There's a reason why Wall Street historically in a hedge fund space is not like Zuckerberg as the CEO. I will not get into it. IG, I still need to be verified. Brian, help me out. But as a stock, no. I wouldn't touch it.
So you wouldn't advise people to invest in Facebook? That's what you're saying.
No, I wouldn't touch it.
Okay.
And this is solely because you feel that it's reached its peak and it's like downhill from here?
There's limited upside to Facebook at this moment. Mm. Like, even if you look outside of acquisitions, what innovation has Facebook had in the last 5 years?
Okay. I mean, are we still taking into account that the amount of small businesses and businesses that use the platform and the fact that it's still the largest social media platform with all the ancillaries? What's happened, obviously Instagram.
You see how bright that ball shining behind me? It's a lot that I can't say.
Okay.
And for all the stuff that I said, for me to say I can't say something, It's much deeper than this. And then also two other networks got affected. This isn't just a Facebook thing. It is going to be tied to a few other companies. This will be a change in the guard. Can you swing trade it and make some coins off of it? Sure. Probably. Long term. And I've been a fan of Facebook since 2005 when Stevie G put me on it. I tried to get my family to invest in it as an angel. Couldn't convince them that 100 grand would have turned into 48 million by now, probably. No.
So Ian is staying away.
All right. So, okay. Stay away from Facebook then. Any last words about Facebook?
For my business owners, began to start to use TikTok, LinkedIn, and other platforms. And also, if you do not have the data of your customer and client list personally, you're going to be in trouble. Okay. There's a lot of people today who were depressed because they thought they were going to go out of business because they don't have access to their client data. Right. Only you are responsible for your own business.
Yeah.
Please be careful.
Wall Street Journal had an article about that, especially people in the fitness industry where they rely solely to reach their customers through Facebook or Facebook Messenger, and how in a day they lost business because there was no way to contact them anymore. It's interesting that Facebook actually pushed the message out that they were down on Twitter.
Yeah, they had no other outlet. They couldn't put it on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty ironic. Okay, well, we're known for being the social media giant, but had to go to another one because we're having quote unquote technical issues.
Okay. Well, Facebook, hold your head. let me, I want to just do something if we can real quick, because I've been traveling a lot and I've been meeting people. And thank you for all your encouraging words. We really, really appreciate it. But what I realize is that there's, shout out to everybody on YouTube, 4,000 people, please hit the like button. I realize there's a lot of people that tune into us and are just getting started and are just new to investing. So even though we mentioned something before, it might be good to every once in a while just kind of refresh it. So if we could take a couple minutes, I wanted to talk about something that is we've talked about before, but is always a relevant conversation and something that's always extremely important, investing for your children. And kind of just, you know, just break this down a little bit. So I want to, like I said, I don't want to rush over things, and I want to make sure that everybody has a good understanding so that they can go out and execute and really put these plays into action, because that's what we're here for. So when we talk about investing for your children, you know, we talk about two things, really. The 529 plan, we spoke about that before, and the 529 plan are state-sponsored investing plans. We used to be college savings, but President Trump, a few years ago, he changed that with the tax law that he passed. And now you can actually use the money for any form of education. So the benefit of the 529 plan is that the money grows and is tax-free as long as you use it for education. So, you know, you have different states, every state, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, and they all have 529 plans. Depending on which state you live in, you can get a state tax deduction. You can't get a federal tax deduction, but depending on what state you live in, you can get a state tax deduction if you invest in that state's 529 plan. So that might be something to look into if you are interested in investing money and having money for private school, for, you know, college, for prep school, any of the above. So that's the question that people get a lot. And then there's another alternative to that, which is the UTMA, which is the Uniform Transfers of Minors account. And you can really open that on any brokerage. And what that allows you to do is set up an investment account, just like you would set up an investment account for yourself, but an investment account for your child. You don't have the same tax benefits, but you can use the money for whatever you want, not just education. So now, you know, you can use the money down the line. You can give them to start a business, or they, you know, want to just buy a car, whatever they want to do. It's an investment account that they have access to when they're an adult, but now you can invest in ETFs. You can invest in index funds. You can invest in individual stocks. So that's another, you know, way to save for a child. It just has a lot more flexibility, but you don't have the same tax benefits. So that's something that, like I said, I just wanted to kind of throw that in there, because every week, I think we should just talk like just one. I don't even want to call it basic, because everybody's in different levels. So it's just one thing that we might have to just go back to, you know, the beginning stages, because at least, you know, there are some people that's watching this for the first time and have not invested. So we just always want to make sure that we mix in high level conversations with some conversations that might be a little bit more, you know, beginning level. Mm-hmm. So people have, you know, a clear understanding so they can take action.
Yeah.
Do you gentlemen want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'll just add to the UPMA conversation. So when you talked about stocks, we talked about IRAs, but you could also in UPMA invest in real estate, you can invest in art, cars. I mean, it's not really limited. Whereas the UGMA is traditionally just for stocks, bonds, and IRAs. So there's a slight difference between the two, but both the custodial accounts, a great way, a great tool to invest for your children. We talk about ours all the time and how we're investing for our children so that when they reach a certain age, they'll have income that we never saw because not that our parents weren't prepared, but they weren't possibly not properly educated or even knew about what these things were. So the more we learn, the more we're able to teach. So we're just passing that forward.
Ian, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, the more that you invest for your child, the better. That's the most important decision that a parent has to make. Write down right now how much you're going to invest for your child every single month and do not deviate from that plan. Even if you put away $10,000 for your child, by the time they're 20, they should have $1 million easily. If you listen to some of the advice that I give and the market continues to run at this pace, be more than that. So put money away for your child every month, and it should be the first bill that you pay every single month for sure.
I got a question for both of you, right? So when we talk about ourselves as individuals, we always say, all right, we should have this amount of money saved for 6 to 12 months and have a portfolio, make sure it's diversified. What do we think about for our children? Are we going to have that same approach where we have custodial accounts, we have a savings account? What do you think?
For your child?
Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, I think that you don't necessarily have to have a savings account for your child, but you can have, I would have a UTMA or a 529 plan if you want to go that approach. Like if you want to have just money just for college, because that's real big. A lot of people want to just save money just for college. You have the 529 plan, but then if you want to just have money just for them, then you will go with the UTMA. So you can actually do both. And another question is like, how much should you put away? There's really no set number. It depends on how much money you have, but I'll go with the 80-20 rule. 80% of your investment budget should be for yourself. And then 20% should be for your child. That's just my opinion. I feel like you have to secure your own future before you can secure anybody else's future, including your child. So, you know, make sure that you're investing in your own retirement first. Make sure you're investing in your own brokerage account first. Make sure you're investing in yourself first. Because ultimately, if you don't have enough money in your own account and you have money in your child's account and you need money, you're going to take money from their account anyway. It's happened before. yeah, I've seen it happen before. It is lightning in LA. What's
it never
going on?
Rains in
That's my thoughts. Like I said, that's just something that secure your own future first.
And if you invest in long term for your child, you won't need the savings because the gains and the compounding will be there, and you're going to get a hell of a better return doing it that way for sure. That's what I've done for Xander, and it's worked out amazing. So I would say invest every dollar that you can for your child. And even with parents and friends, instead of getting your kids toys, have them invest directly into the market for your child if they really care about them.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.